Welcome to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
an ongoing conversation
with ministry leaders
about embracing complexity
and uncertainty
with joy
and faithfulness.
Friends, this is Adam Borneman with the Ministry Collaborative. I'm so glad to be sitting down with my colleagues, Adam Mixon and Katie Nakamura-Ringers. Katie's been in this Ministry Collaborative orbit for quite some time and doing all sorts of things with us. So Katie, you're sort of like an honorary team member at this point, and I'm always glad to talk with you. I wanted to talk with you specifically about the really interesting partnership that your congregations have formed over the past few years. I'm especially interested in that because the Ministry Collaborative has been doing a lot more work with mixes of pastors and lay leaders and congregations in recent years, trying to learn as much as we can about how to do that well and how to help congregations become healthier and more connected to others in their community. Some of those pilot programs and experiments have worked really well. Others have not worked at all, and a lot are in between, and we're just learning a lot from it. But you two, there's something special there for us to learn from, not without its challenges, but I think there is something that needs to be shared. And so I want to make sure to expose the rest of our listeners out there to this sort of uncertain, hope-filled, challenging partnership you all have been waiting through the last few years. So maybe the best way to do that is just, could you give us kind of a 2-minute history of where this came from, how you two know each other, and why you have moved into the type of space sharing and ministry sharing and other things you've been doing the last few years?
Yeah, I mean, Adam, I think we met maybe through the Abbey when we had our coffee shop ministry, but even more so when we were part of the 3-year local clergy cohort here in Birmingham.
Yeah, I knew you in passing, and then we got to know you better when we were together for that traditional cohort.
Mm-hmm. So this is the Ministry Collaborative 3-year cohort. This is Birmingham 2.0, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Starting at 2018 to 2020.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our third year was the pandemic year.
Yeah.
And before we launch too far into it, Katie, can you just say really quick, just your background, which is not the same as Adam. So I just want to make sure folks know where y'all are coming from.
Yeah, I born and raised in Birmingham, Alabama. I was also born and raised in the Episcopal Church and started a little faith community called the Abbey. We ran a coffee shop ministry for 4 years. I continue to volunteer and be part of that community, but my full-time work is I'm on the Episcopal presiding bishop staff. I work in the church planning office.
I was born and raised in Cincinnati, Ohio. I wasn't raised in a church environment, but I did come to faith as a young adult in the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. I served in that capacity for a couple of years, and then I was about to get married, and my wife was a lifelong Baptist and not coming to that DOC church, and I wasn't going to the church that she grew up in. So we went looking for a church, and we landed in a Baptist church in Cincinnati in a community called Avondale, which is north of downtown Cincinnati. And after about 3 years there, we ended up in Birmingham, Alabama as students finishing up education, and then were called to serve a church in Birmingham that is north of downtown in a neighborhood called Avondale.
So say a little bit more, the name of the church, its tradition, and the context.
Yeah, I served at Zion Spring Baptist Church, which is a historic National Baptist Church with some progressive leanings, heavily involved in the civil rights movement, and just got a really rich history. But we're in the middle of a housing project now. The community is changing really rapidly. Katie came over from across the tracks where the gentrification kind of crept up from downtown. We're on the periphery of that right now, so we're in an environment that's changing really quickly.
What prompted the conversation between you two about sharing ministry, sharing space, crossing those tracks?
So in 2019, during this 3-year cohort, our coffee shop ministry imploded. I mean, it was hardcore. What happened? We didn't just run out of money. It was a real implosion. Mm-hmm. Our community was left saying, where are we going to go? Like, what's going to be our next incarnation of this worshiping group and the where? So everything on our side, the south side of the railroad tracks, was really swiftly gentrifying. And so renting another building was nearly impossible. So Adam, you and I were in some conversation about this before the pandemic. Then the pandemic hit, threw the whole thing off. Mm-hmm. We ended up in a school for a year, and then the school building was sold out from under them. So we're like, oh, God's like put us on the road again. And I think at that time, you may have reached out again, just kind of unsolicited. I don't know if you even knew that the school's building was sold and said, hey, Katie, like, whatever you need, whatever you guys need, just let us know. And so we started to renew that conversation about partnership. And it was pretty clear through discernment and prayer, at least on the part of the Abbey, that Zion Spring was the place we were called to be and the church we were called to be in partnership with.
Yeah, it was kind of a no-brainer for us. I tend not to think about the church in denominational terms. I think about the church as the people who love and are trying to follow Jesus. Denominations are only the window dressing for how we choose to express that or whatever. But Katie and the Abbey, they were our neighbors, and they had been displaced. It seemed unreasonable to me that they end up somewhere far away from the community that they had made connections in and had these commitments when we were literally just right up the street. So it really just became us wanting to be good neighbors to our friends.
What sort of challenges or discomfort or wondering was there among lay people in each of your communities?
Well, we're obviously very Black and very Baptist in a good way. And Katie's congregation, that gathering, they are very not Baptist and they're very not Black. The way we enter into worship, the way we approach community, I think we both had stuff to learn from each other. Mm-hmm. We're just very different, but those differences didn't seem to be so pronounced that we couldn't live and work together. It really is kind of remarkable.
Yeah, we all on here know the difficulty of convincing church people to share space, at least like Episcopalians. God help you if you like move that chair 3 inches to the left. For the last 100 years, that chair has been in that same spot. And I think the Abbey folks, particularly for the first 6 or 7 months, there was a not fear, but just like, we got to be very cautious. We have to put everything back exactly as we found it, or the Baptists are going to get mad and throw us out. There was one time I was on vacation at the beach, and I started to get just text after text after text because they had had church without me. And they were terrified they'd left the coffee pot on and were going to burn down Zion Spring. And I'm like, you know, guys, it probably shuts off automatically. I mean, this couple people went to go check it. And I think, though, after a year and a half, some of that, I mean, you know, you got to be careful of the coffee pot, right? But some of that has started to, we're not tenants. Zion Spring isn't taking the posture of a landlord or like the mean old Baptist ladies that don't want the chair moved, right? It's a partnership. Like, there's a sense that it's sort of one church, two services.
Yeah, very much.
How much do you think it mattered that, in very different ways, both of your congregations are kind of on the margins? It's sort of baked in. That is a sincere question. I don't want to overstate that and say, well, it's only because your churches have had to have some sort of margin-shaped resilience that you're able to do this. But I'm wondering, could you be specific about in what ways that played a role?
Yeah, I do think that adversity has a way of jamming people together. Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's all that brought us together. I think spirit is at work. And then I also think, at least from the Zion Spring side, we've cultivated a type of love that's real and practical, substantial, but it's also coupled with a healthy amount of theological humility.
Yeah.
So where we would in some ways expect that we would stumble over doctrinal issues or this or that or the other, we just don't.
Yep.
We don't. We have a really simple view of what it means to be a follower of Jesus. And a whole lot of the things that, again, particularly for Black Baptists in the South, we just don't stumble over them. We can offer pretty generous and gracious space and realize that even with our deepest theological traditions, our theology is really only our words about God and not God. So stuff comes up, and it will come up, and God willing, we'll continue to navigate with that type of love and humility.
Yeah, I don't think that two churches have to be on the margin in order to create this kind of a relationship. I do think that the Abbey and Zion Spring have had some practice at it, at some of those postures and practices in a way that not every church has had to practice them. In the coffee shop era of the Abbey, a lot of our ministry was folks on the street, folks in rehab, people who wouldn't have felt welcome in a traditional church, and we had to learn. We had to learn how you navigate that, how you be in relationship with people who are sometimes pretty desperate. And on the other side of the tracks, there's a different story. The poverty is the working poor, it's families, it's children. So it is different, but they've also had to develop some of those ways of relating to people with a lot of openness and generosity. One of the things I can't remember exactly what the scenario was, but we were talking about what do we do when people come to the door at Zion Spring and they're looking for clothing or they're looking for food or money or, you know, and we were asking Adam, well, what do you want us to do? This is your church. Do you have a policy around how you respond? And he's like, you know, Jesus didn't really operate that way according to policies. You know, there was a wisdom to the way he responded, but also Jesus is pretty flexible.
Unpredictable, too.
And unpredictable. Yeah. Zion Spring is good kind of holding itself that way. And I know I breathe a little bit of a sigh of relief because that's also how I have chosen to interact with people in need. But we also have that generosity with each other. Mm-hmm.
You mentioned that being on the margins wasn't the only thing, but it did play a role. So I'm wondering then, what can other congregations, including inherited sort of established congregations of any stripe, Baptist, Episcopalian, whoever else, what can they learn from your experience, even if they're not like your congregations? Is there something that they can learn from the type of experience you all have had?
I think if we bring with us, again, the openness to learn from other traditions, not this immediate suspicion or the need to, we got this thing right and y'all got it wrong, but in a really, again, just humble way, realize that we're doing the best we can to understand this guy that we claim to serve. And how we reason toward that or how we express that is going to be different. And we don't have to drag each other one way or another in order for us to walk together. Again, it's keeping, I hate to dumb this down, Adam, but keeping Jesus at the center and all the other stuff that people fight over, all the other stuff that church folks fight over, that the world could give a rip about, we're not going to waste time on that.
Mm-hmm.
What matters, matters. What's of substance is of substance. And the fact that we're located in this place where we can't escape the reality of poverty and all of its outworkings, we really don't have time, energy, or resource to be quibbling over doctrinal issues or dogmas or differences in opinion about theology, things that Jesus wouldn't have cared about. Jesus always placed people over principle.
Mm.
And for that reason, he upset a whole lot of religious folks. And that's one of the things I admire about Katie, is that while she's rooted in a tradition, there is a certain amount of, so what? You know, there's a fearlessness that's encouraging to me.
Yeah, Katie, I think especially of just your Episcopal context, which is not dissimilar from my Presbyterian world and others. I mean, these predominantly white, very historic, very American traditions, what can your colleagues learn from this and others in similar contexts?
Yeah, so one of my favorite experiences over the last year was sharing Maundy Thursday with Zion Spring. I think our Episcopalians were actually a little surprised that when Adam led the Maundy Thursday liturgy, it was pretty much the exact same thing the Episcopalians would have done. Because ultimately, how much can you do with Jesus, you know, instituting the Last Supper and the foot washing? I mean, but it's also a moment of like, oh, yeah, Henry VIII didn't like invent this. Jesus invented it. There's some like deconstructing I think we have to do. And COVID time and just kind of the dwindling of numbers and mainline Protestant traditions, I think ask us to come to some of those moments of saying, what is this really about? Mm. What can we do with that? What's the essence? What's the simplicity of this faith? What of this faith is going to get us through some really trying times?
And also, you have me thinking, an additional question. What are the other relationships in this community? What are the lines across difference that we need to pay more attention to? What is happening with other faith communities around us where the Spirit is at work that we need to pay more attention to? And you all have modeled that so well.
Mm. What's interesting is that there are other churches in the community,
mm-hmm.
but Zion Spring is a neighborhood church. It's a historic Black community situated between some factories that used to sit, pipe shops and things like that, where some Black folks live. And back in the 70s, the mid to late 70s, those houses were knocked down. Federal housing projects were put up. those working class people that worked in the neighborhood have historic connections to Zion Springs.
They were able to raise their kids.
Those kids became teachers and professionals and educations and all of that. And they moved from the neighborhood, but they kept their connections to that community. Then Zion Spring went through something of an identity crisis where the people outside on the projects didn't look like those people who had those historic connections. And that was just about the time I showed up where things had really started to kind of fissure. There's a culture war going on that I had to navigate. Like, this is our neighborhood. We're a neighborhood church. Are we just going to be a historic church where mama and granddaddy went here and there were foot soldiers or they participated, or are we going to reflect the context where we're in? We fought that battle, been fighting it for years. So just for us, it was kind of, what is the point of a church being at a physical location if not to minister to the people who are in that neighborhood? And that's one of the things, again, I love that I learned from the Episcopalians, is that there is kind of a parish model, which means everywhere I look, those are my people. Not just the people who drive in, and God bless them because they're the ones who help keep the budget intact, right? But our people is everyone that we see, those who are in arm's reach. Yeah, I wish churches understood that your location matters, kind of along the lines of Willie Jennings. We're not situated here accidentally. It's for this time, for this purpose, and for these people. And I'm grateful to have somebody like Katie sharing that view, that these are our people. Mm-hmm. However messy and challenging that it is, these are our people.
Yeah, I think that's something you and I share, Adam, and that we both sometimes are challenged a bit to push our people on. That is part of the shepherding in this context.
Mm-hmm.
And there's some resistance.
Yeah, look, Black people are not a monolith, right? There were some wars over those are not our people or this is our church and they're going to mess it up. I'm like, have you checked the address, right? Come out the front door, look up and down the block. If anything, you're going to become a visitor in this neighborhood in a minute if you don't learn how to embrace the people who are our neighbors. I don't think Zion Spring would have survived another 20 years had they not shifted.
Yeah.
We would have died. We'd have shuddered if we hadn't turned outward.
Adam, Katie, thank you so much.
Thank you for listening to the Ministry Collaborative Podcast,
a project of the Macedonian Ministry Foundation.
The Ministry Collaborative nurtures a national network
of pastors and congregations committed to faithful,
creative,
and courageous engagement in their communities.
Our producer is Marthane Sanders.
To find out more about our work of cultivating leadership that makes a difference
in congregations and communities,
visit our website
at www.ministrycollaborative.org.